The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from Ezekiel chapter 33. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses, and as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness, and the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered, but in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most people of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. This is the gospel of the Lord. The word of God that engages us for our meditation today comes to us from Luke, the 13th chapter. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear friends, the Bible talks a lot about fruit. In Matthew chapter 7, as Jesus is wrapping up his Sermon on the Mount, he says about the false prophets, you can tell a tree by its fruit. A good tree does not bear bad fruit, and a bad tree does not bear good fruit. The Bible talks a lot about fruit. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he cuts off. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The Bible talks a lot about fruit. Even as Jesus is in Jerusalem and heading away, he sees a fig tree. He wants something to eat, and he goes over and finds that there are no figs on it, so he curses the tree. The next day, they walk by, and they see that the tree had withered and died. The Bible talks a lot about fruit. So it should come as no surprise that when Jesus tells his parable today, he focuses on fruit. He says that there is a man who owns a vineyard and he plants a fig tree in that vineyard. He comes to the tree looking for fruit and he finds none. So he tells the vine dresser, cut it down. Why should it take up the soil? The vine dresser says, let me dig around it. Put fertilizer on it. And if it bears fruit next year, all is well and good. And if not, we should cut it down. Jesus is concerned about the fruit. And what in this parable does that fruit represent? Jesus answers that question just a few moments before. He says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus is looking for the fruit of repentance. Many of us see repentance as a shameful thing. But God sees it as a beautiful fruit. The reason we see it this way is because it is so closely connected to sin, and we are rightly ashamed of sin. Repentance, on the other hand, is the turning away from that sin. It's the clinging to Christ by faith, that his wounds become all that I need for the forgiveness of my heart, of my words, of my actions, of everything that I have left undone. The Lutheran confessions even speak highly of repentance, taking up several sections just on the topic alone. The small called articles say this about repentance. The New Testament retains this office of the law and teaches it, as Paul does and says in Romans chapter 1, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all people. Also Romans 3, so that the whole world may be held accountable to God, and no human being is justified in his sight. And Christ says in John 16, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. Now this is the thunderbolt of God, by means of which he destroys both the open sinner and the false saint, and allows no one to be right, but drives the whole lot of them into terror and despair. This is the hammer of which Jeremiah speaks. My word is a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. This is not active contrition, a contrived remorse, but passive contrition, true affliction of the heart, suffering and the pain of death. This is really what it means to begin true repentance. Here a person must listen to a judgment such as this. You are all of no account, whether you appear publicly to be a sinner or a saint. You must all become something different from what you are now and act in a different way, no matter who you are now and what you do. You may be as great, wise, and powerful and holy as you could want, but there is no one righteous, not even one. And so, Jesus tells a parable where he comes and he looks for fruit on a tree. How are your branches? Are they laden with the fruit of repentance? For the scripture speaks a lot about fruit. In 1951, Sir Hugh Beaver was out hunting plovers. He took a shot and missed. At this, he was telling the other people that he was hunting with that the plover was the fastest bird on land. Someone else disagreed and said no, he thought the red grouse was the fastest bird. And so they ensued with a large argument about which was the fastest bird. It turned out that the plover was the fastest. But as Sir Beaver was thinking about this, he started thinking about how many arguments were started over which thing was the greatest, and wondering if he could remedy that for other people. Now, he was the managing director of Guinness Breweries, and he decided to make a little pamphlet about facts about what was the best and the greatest. By 1955, the Guinness Book of World Records was a bestseller in Britain. Soon coming to the United States, and I'm sure that most of you have heard of that publication. We always want something to compare other things against. We like to compare ourselves. We like to compare others. We want to know what is the best. Yet today we hear Jesus as people come to him and they're talking about these Galileans that Herod had mixed their blood with sacrifices. Jesus says, do you think that they were greater sinners because this happened to them? No. He says, what about that tower in Siloam that fell down? Do you think that they were greater sinners because that tower fell on them? No. But in our hearts, we do not need a book to compare ourselves with others. As long as someone else has a greater sin, we can ignore our own. As long as we can say, they did this bad, I can say, maybe I'm just a little bit less bad than them. We convince ourselves that our sin isn't so great because their sin is so great. And that sin of comparison takes over. And when we don't see ourselves as great of a sinner, we no longer need to repent, and the fruit goes away. If they got angry and shot their wife, I haven't gotten that angry, so I'm okay. If they went off and cheated on their spouse, I know that my lust isn't that bad. If they've gone around and said those things, I know that what I said wasn't quite so bad. I don't have to look at myself because I'm better by comparison. Do you hear St. John the Baptist saying that the axe is laid at the root of the trees? And every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Jesus is looking at the trees, and he wants to find that fruit of repentance. Yet he gives us more time, and he says, go ahead and fertilize it, and I'll come back, and I'll check the branches again. What does it do to the wounds of Jesus Christ when our sin isn't so great? How do we view his sufferings if we can simply say we're not so bad? What do we do with his holy passion and his death on that Good Friday, when we in our own hearts say, I have nothing to turn away from, because they have been that bad, I can sit back and say nothing of myself. You are a sinner. You actually sin. Your heart is not perfect, but Jesus is. Look at your heart, not at the heart of everyone else. Look at your action, not the actions of everyone else. Look at your words and your attitudes, not the words and attitudes of everyone else. You are a sinner, but Christ is a greater redeemer. His blood is poured out to forgive you. His life is given in exchange for yours. He has given all. Do you want to compare yourself to something? Compare yourself to him. For he is perfect in every way. Yet not once does he say, look at how great I am. He simply says, I give it all for you. You are the loved of Christ. He gave himself, and in that sacrifice, he comes to you today with his body and his blood. He places his very body into your hands and his very blood onto your lips. Not so you can stand and say, look at how great I am. but that you can see how great he is. Don't hinder the fruit of repentance, because the fruit of repentance is a fruit that God looks for. Not only does it keep you humble, but it gives you a right relationship with God, that you would have faith in him rather than faith in yourself. So come to his table today with all of your sin, placing it upon at his feet. And in exchange, he will hand you a perfect fruit from a perfect tree, his body, his blood, for your life. Repentance is a good thing. Our sins are not. So let us bear fruit in keeping with repentance, for the scripture speaks a lot about fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.